Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We are continuing our series on identifying areas where you personally are in bondage and how to get free. This is, again, going to be a very personal process, and we're just going to be leading and traveling through the general steps. Now, I want to address, in general, a couple of questions that have come up. This is not a one-time thing. One of the problems that we've run up against in the Christian church is this notion, this idea that once you're saved, there are no problems. Now, odds are you know better than that. But we need to really put our arms around that and understand that when we have that salvation experience, when we become re-inspirited, that merely starts the process. One of my favorite TV programs to watch, it's all in repeats now because of the way the economy has gone, but it's called Property Ladder, and it's about flipping houses. And what the program does is it follows either a couple or friends or sometimes complete strangers through the process of buying an investment property and flipping it, with the intention of making money. And some of these people have never picked up a hammer before, and some of them have no money. And the variety of situations that they find themselves in is just amazing. And through this series, the host is an expert flipper, and she will come in at various stages. She'll help get them started, and she will give her expert opinion on pointing them in the right direction and in the wrong direction, and trying to help them steer clear without interfering from areas where what they're doing isn't necessarily going to be the best thing for them. And what you find out is we've sympathize with the people trying to do this flip, but we see disaster coming for the vast majority of them. There's relationship issues, there's financial issues, and one of the recurring nightmares that happens is that people have bought houses without having the money in the bank, so they have these huge mortgage payments on top of their own normal expenses, but they do this without an inspection. So they're going into debt without knowing what they're going into debt for. And some of these people, they've read the books, they've seen the TV programs like this one, and they believe they can do it themselves. And a lot of cases, they, even with the disasters, even with going way over budget and way over their time frame and putting way too much money into it, in a lot of cases, they actually do make money. But in some cases, they don't. And in some cases, the show ends where the house has been on the market for 16 weeks and with a $4,000 mortgage payment month after month, and they're having to end up rent out the house to try to recoup some of it, and you never know if the house is sold. And sometimes the only difference between the two is circumstance, is when the house was put on the market, if the economy was going up or going down. In other words, it was not something under their control. And what I really want to draw a parallel to is that when you start embracing the whole idea of becoming free, it's a process. It's going to affect other people, and it's going to be affected by your circumstances. This is one of the reasons it's a unique situation. There's a lot of things you can learn how to do. You can learn, like in this TV show, you can learn how to do a spreadsheet. You can learn how to budget your money, how much things are going to cost. You can even have experience in these areas. You can hire the most experienced people. You can hire family members. And odds are it's not going to go as you expect. When we're dealing with getting free, overcoming our bondages, we have this idea that that others are the only ones that need to change, that we're going to do the research. We're going to find out, well, you know, where our problem is and overcome it. But when we start getting into it, maybe we haven't done the inspection. And in our case, very often the inspection is introspection about our own temperament, our own history, our own lies that we believe. If we haven't done that first, when we start tearing down the walls and find out that the electrical all needs to be replaced, we're going to be overwhelmed and discouraged and just turn back to what we were doing before. But God is in this. God wants you free. One of the reasons it's going to seem overwhelming as you go through this process of flipping your own house is to not flip the rest of your families. This is something you're going through. Now, change is hard. And change will, when you change, others will as well. And this is one of those areas you're going to have to be patient with them and with yourself and with God. But this is not about them. This is about you. And one of the big things you'll have to fight is that desire, that the easy out of blaming others. So we've talked many times before about looking at your own history and your own temperament and your own beliefs. And this is where that it pays off. If you already know what you're getting into, when you start tearing down those walls, when God starts setting you free to make a place where you can be home, where it can be something worthwhile, where you are starting to become one, spirit, soul, and body, and really seeing a difference in your life and enjoying that freedom to be what God put you here to be, to rule and reign now. If you've done that introspection, that self-inspection, you will be much farther along. There's still going to be problems. There's still going to be circumstances. But you will be much better equipped to deal with them. And when you know how to hear from God, you will be going into your rehab without going into debt, because you will already have all the resources you need fully accessible to you. You won't need to go to the bank to beg for money. You won't need to go to your family members to beg for money. Now, this is not about rehabbing a house. This is about rehabbing your life. About finding out, Lord, where is it that I made a wrong turn that I'm living with, rather than going back and remaking that turn. We've talked many times as well that the Lord is guiding every single step you take. So it's not about you missing something or making a mistake. Because God makes up that difference. You are the redeemer of your time, and you can do it like that. Tomorrow, you can undo in your own lives what you may have considered to be 20 years worth of going down the wrong path. That can all be redone overnight. We need to know, though, how to hear from him, how to access all our resources that are already available to us now. You are not a beggar, and you are not a victim. And we can't live like that. You are not to owe your spiritual walk, your soulical walk, or your natural walk to anyone. You are a son of God. And he is not in subjection to anyone. And we are not to live that way either. Now going back to this program, Property Ladder, they make a lot of mistakes. And some of them are funny, and some of them are heartbreaking. And some of them are you going, well, you could have seen this coming. And, of course, we're talking about a TV program. But the idea is that you will make mistakes. And some of them are going to be laughable, and some of them you go, oh, man, I should have seen this coming. The point is you keep going. You don't just walk away. You don't go back. You have to finish it. You learn from it. And then when you finish this house and you sell it, whether it's a boom or a bust, whether you make money or lose money, you keep going. You've learned skills. You've learned more about yourself. You've learned what's behind the walls, even if it was the hard way to do it. But you keep going. Freedom is the result for you. Not just not making money, but freedom. Knocking down those walls, seeing what's behind them, finding out what your foundation is, and rebuilding your life as a complete being, spirit, soul, and body. So last week we talked about coming up with a list in each one of those areas that we can categorize the areas of our lives that he is drawing our attention to. Those are our physical being, our health, our relationships, and our finances. And hopefully you've spent some time with that. And you've looked over those areas. Where is it that God is drawing attention for you that he wants you to ask him about, that keeps on coming up, or that is the most painful for you? And again, one of the ways to know whether something is a crisis or not is your reaction to it, or if it's a lingering reaction. For instance, if it's a relationship, somebody says something harsh to you and you're still thinking about it 3 days later, that's a wound. That's an area you're in bondage that God wants to talk to you about. Or if somebody says something, you know, snarky to you or sarcastic, and you go ballistic. You get angry, or just the reaction is out of proportion to the trigger, or it lasts way too long, out of proportion. I generally look at that as over 24 hours. Those are just guidelines. But those are areas where we can tell God is trying to get our attention. These are areas he wants. These are red flags. So in the physical area, in your health, are there any areas that he wants to talk to you about? In your finances, are there any areas that he wants to talk to you about? In your relationships, are there any areas that he wants to talk to you about? Now, odds are, there's more than one in each one of those areas. He may want to talk to you about all of them at once. He may just draw your attention to one or two. But those are the areas where there are wounds. And those wounds, the existence of those wounds, are what's keeping you in bondage. And when we talk about being set free, we're really talking about two things: having that wound healed, and then recognizing that now we need to learn to live free, as free in that area. And it will change your life, very often turning it upside down, that to find out that a lot of the decisions you made and a lot of the place you're in right now is not because God told you there, or God sent you there, but it was based on the decisions you made, based on the beliefs you had. And that as he sets you free, those beliefs change. And you look back and you go, man, if I'd have known then what I know now. But you didn't. And that's okay. That's fine. You're exactly where you're supposed to be right now. Because you can redeem that time, and you can redeem it right now. So we don't look back at all, because you are above that time. Your past is your training ground. Your present is your training ground, and your future is your training ground. None of those are spiritual. Those are all just part of your opportunity to learn how to redeem, how to rule over your time. So don't get caught up in your past. But look at your present. How can you overcome? How can you learn to live free in that particular situation? So ask the Lord. Say you have three in each one of those categories. And we're coming to this that you know how to hear from the Lord and test what you hear, because we've talked about this many times before. And if you need to go back and review, feel free to do that. It's in the archives, and we have some information on the website on how to do this. It's not complicated. It's not easy, but it's not complicated. It's simple. It's because it's not easy, because it's a habit. It's not something, it's not a special gift, or not something that you just pray for and God gives you, just like any of these things. That's one of the problems we're having in the church, is that we want instant fixes. We don't want to have to work for change. We don't want to have to work to be able to hear him. We want somebody else to tell us, give us a prophetic word, or we want to, you know, be so close to God that we don't have to work to hear from him. He's got his own way of doing things, and it's unique. And I think that's one of the reasons he does it so uniquely with each one of us. So we can't completely depend on somebody else's walk. You know, when somebody says, this is the way you do it, and you ask, well, how do you know that's the way you do it? Well, that's the way I did it. Well, but that's just the way you did it. That doesn't mean that's the way I do it. And even when we look at the examples Jesus left for us, we think, okay, he's the pattern son. But the pattern is that he did it different every time. He taught differently. He taught different people. He taught different ways. He healed different. You know, he never healed the same way twice. He never taught the same way twice. He never walked the same way twice. He never treated people the same way twice. The only thing we know he did consistently was he was dependent upon his father consistently. He learned from his father consistently. He heard his father. He was with his father consistently. That's the only thing that never wavered, never changed, was his reliance, his oneness, his union with his father. Where when he, with his final prayer, it wasn't, you know, God, Father, teach them how to do what I've done. Teach these sheep how to be like me. No. His final prayer was, Father, that they would be one as you and I are one. So that we would be like him. If he's one with God, with the Father, and his wish, his desire, his prayer was that we would be also one with the Father. So it's not what we do, not what we say, not our behavior, not our beliefs, but our oneness that's consistent in our lives, our dependence, our knowing him, our one spirit, soul, and body, and one in him. Now again, in your spirit, you're already there. You don't need to work at that. That's a done deal. That's how we can have that rest, even while we tear down those walls, to see that all the plumbing needs to be replaced, or there's mold back there. And we may need extra hands on deck to help fix the mold. There's going to be things that you don't know how to do yourself, so you get in the experts, but you're still the boss. It's still your responsibility. It's still your house. It's still your investment. If you don't understand something, don't do it. You're the one in charge. It's your responsibility. But you may need extra help. Get it, and then move on. Don't let that derail you from what you want to do. But get it done. And this is one of the things we'll learn how to do, is focus on what's going on and not be so easily distracted by other opportunities, by what other people are recommending, what other people are saying. Now, we'll also need to learn how to take expert advice. God will bring into your life who and what you need when you need it. We go back then to trusting that every single day is a training experience, a training opportunity. He is your trainer, your personal trainer. He may bring real-life personal trainers into your life, but it's still a matter of you're in charge. It's your responsibility. So take those lists and go through each one. Lord, is this? And seriously, just very often what has happened, and some of you have discovered this, even as you write it down, he frees you from it. The very process, the very simplicity of recognizing that this is an area you're in bondage is enough to break those bonds and set you free. So go through each thing that you've written down and cross off the ones that he's already set you free, that are no longer bondage. And then maybe circle the ones that are the most painful for you. Put a star by it. Because it's very likely that those are the ones, not necessarily absolutely true, but those are the ones that God is wanting to set you free. That's why he's allowing the pain to be so intense. And it may not be pain, it may be confusion, it may be anger, it may be misunderstanding. In other words, you may not be able to fix your marriage and you don't understand what's wrong. You may not know what the problem is, except that there's a problem. That's very often a signal that there's more going on than you know about, which is why you aren't able to get your arms around it. But God knows everything that's going on, and he wants to address it. and he wants to set you free in it and through it. Yep, change is hard. But the only people on this earth that are not changing are those in the cemetery. You're either changing for the better or changing for the worse. And if you're trying to control the change, if you're trying to do it yourself, you're changing for the worse, because all you're doing is strengthening yourself. Now, as you depend on God, he will develop your strength. He will develop your judgment. He will develop and utilize and teach you to appreciate the temperament that he's given you. And your temperament, again, is the way your mind, will, and emotions have been put together for you. Some of us are strong-minded. Some are strong emotions. Some are strong-willed. God does not value one over the other. He gave you exactly what he wanted you to have, and you ain't broke. He ain't going to fix you. But he wants you to develop the skills that he's given you within those temperaments and learn to overcome your weaknesses, to not be distracted by them. It's not that one is more valuable than another. He just doesn't want you controlled either way. He doesn't want you to live your life hiding your weaknesses or living off your strengths. They are simply things that are about you. Similar to how old you are, you have no control over how old you are. I would put money on this. I would bet you that you're a day older today than you were yesterday in your physical body. I think that's a pretty safe bet. So that's something physically, at this point in time at least, you don't have control over. And you were born in a certain family, at a certain time, in a certain place. And you have certain characteristics, physical characteristics. You're a man or a woman. You're young or old. You're a male or a female. You have certain color eyes, certain color hair, certain color skin. Those are all things that are about you. Those are not you. Where you were born, what country, what nation, what socioeconomic strata, whether you were born into a poor family or a rich family. Those were all things that were not under your control. Those are things that are about you. And because those are things that are about us, we don't want to let them control us, because they are not about your spirit. Likewise, in our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, God gave you a mind, a level of mind, a level of will, and a level of emotion. Those are things that are about you. They are not you. Though we want to, just as we want to take care of our body, we want to take care of our temperament, our soul. We want to respect it and give it the high regard that it deserves, because this was the gift God gave you. We want to learn to appreciate it and value it and take care of it, but recognize that we rule and reign over our body. We rule and reign over our temperament. We are not subject to them. We are not defined by them, and we are not kept in bondage by them. So we start there. Lord, help us to understand what part of our temperament we are misunderstanding in each of these areas where we feel like we're in bondage. Lord, bring to our attention if there's an area of our temperament that is keeping us in bondage, and give us the appreciation. Help us understand what is the lie that we need to know your truth in order to overcome. and then speak the truth, Lord, that we can be set free in this area of our temperament. So pick it up there next Saturday. If you've got any questions, you can always drop me a line at diane@wecanprepare.org. Check out the website at wecanprepare.org, and we'll be moving forward from here. Thanks for tuning in. This is Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great weekend.